Peace of Christ be with you. I have an uneasy relationship with my phone. It's got so many cool things on here. I get my email, and I can get text messages from friends, and I can get a positive word of encouragement from somebody on Facebook. Somebody calls and shares some good news. But I have an uneasy relationship with my phone because sometimes the news that you get isn't good. And when it rings, I never know what's on the other end. And sometimes I'm hesitant to pick it up, like Monday night. Phone rings, and it's our beloved Dean of Students, Richard Frost, who is a man you should know who loves you so much and so deeply. And when he calls late on a night, I don't want to pick up the phone because it's rarely good news, as it was on Monday night. You get that phone call, and it feels like everything goes slow. Something deep in you is touched. How we doing? We're good? All right. That's how it feels, just like that. Static, confusing, interrupting. You get that phone call, and nothing's quite the same. And you get the news that a student, one of us, is no longer with us. JP is no longer with us. And I hate getting that call. I hate that static sound and feeling in my head. And when I get that call, it's a time when I really need it to be true. I need to believe. Not an abstraction, not some creed that we just put up on a screen and recite and do some teaching about it. I need it to be really, really real and true in my life. I need this God that we talk about in here and that we want to worship out there. I need it to be true in here. I need these promises to be true in my life. It's one of these weeks where I need it to be true. I need it to be true what we talked about on Sunday night about the Holy Spirit, that when we say we believe in the Holy Spirit, that I'm clinging to a fundamental truth about God in this world and in this community right now. I need it to be true this week. In my life and in your life and in this community, I don't need it to be an abstraction. I need it to show up and be real because I'm sad, and I'm hurt. I feel angry and scared, and all of these emotions all at once, and I don't know what to say. And when a preacher doesn't know what to say, it's a difficult occupational hazard. I'm supposed to know what to say, and I don't. I can't fix it. I can't change it. I can't roll back time. I wish I could. So I need to believe today. I need to believe with you in the Holy Spirit that this God is here among us and with us and doing something specific. And when I need to believe it, one of the places I go to, one of the scriptures I go to is Romans 8. And this morning I want to just live into this. I want to feel this scripture with you. It's the scripture I go to when I get that phone call. And so if you need to, close your eyes and listen for what God is doing. Listen for what the Holy Spirit is doing. Hear the word of the Lord. I consider the sufferings of this present time not worth comparing to the glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation was submitted. For this creation was subjected to futility. I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with a glory about to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the children of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not of its own will, but by the will of the one who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage of decay and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. And we know that the whole creation has been groaning in labor pains until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly while we wait for the adoption, the redemption of our bodies. For in hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what is seen? But if we hope for what is not seen, we wait for it with patience. And likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. But that very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. And God, who searches the heart, knows what's in the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good for those who love God, who are called according to his purpose. For those whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, in order that he might be the firstborn within a large family. And those whom he predestined, he also called. And those whom he called, he also justified. And those whom he justified, he also glorified. And what then shall we say about these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not withhold his only Son, but gave him up for all of us, will he not also with him give us everything else? Who will bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? It is Christ Jesus who died, yes, who is risen, who is indeed at the right hand of God the Father, interceding for us. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or nakedness or famine or peril or sword? No. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am convinced that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. This is the word of the Lord. When I get that phone call, this is where I go. This is one of the places that reminds me of what Paul has, and Paul has this double vision. I consider the sufferings of this present time, this news, this week, not worth comparing to a glory about to be revealed to us. Paul doesn't hesitate to acknowledge the suffering, but he's also willing to say that that's not the final reality for us, that there are other circumstances defining our circumstances. And the circumstance that is defining our circumstance right now is what God is doing. I believe in the Holy Spirit this week because of what we just heard. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness when we don't know how to pray as we ought, when we don't know what to say, when we don't feel strong, when we get the phone call and we don't know what to say to each other. It's okay, because the Holy Spirit is interceding for us according to the will of God. To have somebody intercede for you is to have an advocate, have somebody to take up your cause, to plead on behalf of. And that's the image that Paul has for us right now. The Holy Spirit, he says, according to the will of God, is interceding, is pleading on our behalf to God, because that is God's will. We heard on Sunday night Jesus saying these words, "If you love me, you will keep my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever." This is the Spirit of truth. This is the same Spirit that Paul is talking about here. And this Spirit is not a phantom or a myth. This is a real person who's actively engaging and pouring out his life for us right now. in this time of grief, for JP's family and for his friends and for all who are touched, for all of us who don't know what to say or what to do, not only this week, but in the weeks to come. And this is where our theology gets really, really practical and real. Do we believe this or not? Because if we believe this, then we have the very presence of God living in amongst us, surrounding us, praying for us, interceding for us. We don't have a God that just throws us back on ourselves and leaving us to our own tears and grief, that you've got to figure this out by yourselves, by pulling yourself up by your own moral bootstraps. That is not the gospel. The gospel that we have is the gospel of a God who is right here among us, interceding with sighs too deep for words, almost as if the Spirit doesn't even have the words, but there is a groan that we all feel and we all share. And when you get that phone call and you feel that groan and that pain and you don't know what to say, it's okay. Just remember to believe in the Holy Spirit, because the Spirit knows and the Spirit is groaning with us, interceding on our behalf according to the will of God. It's a week where we need this to be real for each other. We don't have to have the answers because we don't have them. But we do need to show up for each other and be with each other and to stand firmly on what we know, on what we say we believe about this God who has not abandoned us, but who is here. And so, my friends, as you launch into this day and this week and you're navigating all the things you're going to feel, give yourself lots of grace. Give yourself the grace not to have words right now. Give yourself the grace to surround each other, before each other. And with the knowledge that the Holy Spirit is here and working in amongst us. Amen. Let's pray. Jesus, we ask that today you would again send your Spirit upon us in a very real way. We pray for JP's family, his mom and his dad, his relatives, his cousin. We pray for his professors, his roommate, for all who are touched by this, Lord. We pray that your Holy Spirit will sigh with groans too deep for words. Help us, Lord, to believe in you right now and be among us in a very intimate way. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and everyone said, amen. Go in peace, my friends.